This is the note appended from Margaret. June 21, 1943, United States reports cases adjudged in the Supreme Court of the United States, Volume 320, Marconi Wireless Telegraph Company of America versus United States, pages 1 through 80, and figures 165 and 185 are reproduced on page 177 of Margaret's book. Figures 165 and 185 referred to in the United States Supreme Court case are from Tesla's 1893 lecture and are frequently cited as evidence supporting his claim of invention of radio. And I'm going to comment here. The radio, that is now returning to her central text. The radio engineering fraternity made a major effort to atone in 1956 on the occasion of Tesla's 100th anniversary. It's strange, therefore, to find in the Dictionary of American Biography an article on Tesla by an eminent professor of electrical engineering and computer sciences, Charles Susskind, who cites reference sources through the 40s, 50s, and 60s, yet completely omits reference to the U.S. Supreme Court's landmark decision. And my comment, to express power lusts, key principles of deviousness, convolutedness, and planning realized in steps over time, we might have to modify Prince's maxim by adding in a variable. 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus x is 3 plus x. Continuing, even more curious, this author cites articles on Tesla by Anderson, O'Neill, Swezy, and Harridan Pratt. This is from the Proceedings of the Institute of Radio Engineers, each of whom had done careful research to set the record straight. Popular historians, both in the United States and Europe, have consistently repeated the error. Although the news had yet to penetrate encyclopedias, modern radio engineering authorities now accord Tesla clear priority in a field that for years was confused by seesawing claims involving such international luminaries besides Marconi as Lodge, Pupin, Edison, Fessenden, Popov, Slaby, Braun, Thompson, and Stone, to name only the more famous of the pioneers. Dr. James R. Waite writes, quote, The simple picture shown based on Tesla's disclosure in 1893 is the birth of wireless communication. Admittedly, it follows the erudite theoretical and experimental investigations of Hertz, who demonstrated the action at a distance from a spark gap discharge. But by a few years, it precedes Marconi's inventions and practical demonstrations of wireless telegraphy, unquote. Anderson points out that some have confused the argument with respect to the principles of transmission and reception of radio signals with the matter of transmitting voice, an important improvement made practical by DeForest's Audion, or triode vacuum tube. In a discussion of priority in the invention of radio, one must be very specific, says Dr. James R. Waite. In the case of Marconi Wireless Telegraph Company of America versus United States, which was decided June 21, 1943, against the Marconi Company and striking down the fundamental Marconi patent, the following definitions evolved out of the exhaustive depositions taken from many technical experts in the fields of radio and the physical sciences. And we're breaking off here. Not sure I'm going to reproduce those definitions in order to sort of continue with the story next week. But we'll see. But that's where we're going to break off from Margaret's text and end with my comment. Given the unprecedentedly massive crime the power guys were planning once they'd stolen Nikola Tesla's technology, and can any deny that the theft and continuing development of Nikola Tesla's EMF weaponization methods, to say nothing of their theft and suppression of his technique for how to transmit electricity wirelessly, in order to ascend to an unassailable power vantage, the ability to destroy whoever and whatever they choose invisibly, with no consequences boomeranging back at them, a vantage from which they could observe and, quote-unquote, manage, they see it, the world. Can any deny that to attempt, let alone achieve, such an objective constitutes a crime of massive proportions, one which ipso facto delegitimates the state? Given this, it occurs that the great radio controversy must surely be noise, a distraction for both Nicola when he was alive and for us, those conscious of the degree to which Nicola was mistreated, a bone for radio and electrical engineers of heart to worry, an injustice generation after generation to try to correct, a red herring to draw out and absorb possible threats until they could make Nicola's name fade as it sank in the sea of our forgetfulness. And next week we'll continue with Chapter 17, The Great Radio Controversy, in Margaret Cheney's Tesla, Man Out of Time.